Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
This week, we're featuring the Soldier Field cocktail by Bar GPT to honor this week's guest. The cocktail is inspired by the electrifying ambiance of a stadium concert at Soldier Field, truly capturing the essence of Chicago's skyline at dusk. It's perfect for sipping while enjoying live music under the stars. This cocktail truly brings together the spirit of Chicago and the excitement of a stadium concert. To make the cocktail, you'll need 1.5 ounces of Malort, 1 ounce of Blue Curacao, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of grenadine, 2 ounces of club soda, and a dash of edible silver glitter. In a cocktail shaker filled with ice, combine Malort, Blue Curacao, and lemon juice. Shake well. Strain into a tall Collins glass filled with ice, creating the first layer. Then slowly pour the grenadine over the back of a spoon to create a distinct second layer. Top with club soda and sprinkle a dash of edible silver glitter on top for the final sparkling touch. So grab your Soldier Field cocktail and let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back, Chicago. Today we are going to meet you on the field for a game of Name That Stadium. No, we are not throwing any balls around because Ioana and I are horrible at sports and we also cannot perform, sing. We can only storytell, and today we are very excited to tell the story of something that is 100 years old. And this stadium in Chicago has hosted quite the array of famous faces and important events, and here are just a few. Some former speakers and performers include Martin Luther King Jr., President Roosevelt, Taylor Swift, Billy Graham, NATO. It was the site of the first ever Special Olympic Games, and it was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1984. And if you're in Chicago like us, then you better have already guessed that this is the one and only Soldier Field. And today, we are so excited to be joined by Luca Serra, the Director of Marketing and PR for Soldier Field, who's going to tell us more about Chicago's famous stadium, trends in the concert and event industry, and just tell us generally what it's like running a 63,500 person capacity stadium. Insane. Luca Serra, welcome to Sip With Me.
I'm so glad to be here. I love what you guys do. And it's nice to shine a light on Soldier Field given its 100th anniversary this year.
Yeah. And it was so cool we both have lived in Chicago for 30 years. And I feel like Soldier Field, it's one of those icons of the city that's so iconic and so big that you never really take the time to like learn about it or get to know it because it's just always been there and it's just something that everybody knows. But there's so much history behind Soldier mm-hmm. Field. That's so interesting. Before we dive into it though, just introduce yourself, who you are, who you work for, and kind of what you do.
So you got the name right, Luca Serra, Director of Marketing and PR. I actually have been here for almost 21 years, and I came up when the new stadium was being constructed back in 2002, 2003. And we were reinventing this place because there was while it was a retro build, a retrofit build into the existing columns, it for all intents and purposes, was a brand new stadium and exterior parklands and with all kinds of hopes for what this venue would be that it never was before, right? Mm-hmm. A multi-purpose venue, inside hospitality spaces that didn't exist before, exterior parklands that would be used along the lakefront for all kinds of runs and walks and festivals and automotive events and circus and sailing, you name it, we've done it, right? And so it really was fun to be part of that build of what this place was going to become, and look back on it now and be able to say, we did it. We accomplished what the goals were from the city and all the stakeholders that were involved in it. I'll dive a little bit more into that later, but I work for a private management company called ASM Global. And we're obviously a global company that manages stadiums, arenas, theaters, convention centers, all kinds of special use facilities around the world. And we have about 370 different facilities that we manage.
Wow.
So we've got the resources behind us of you know, best practices and purchasing power and support from all aspects of finance and marketing and event booking and all of that. And so, you know, makes our jobs a little bit easier, but a lot of times we find ourselves kind of being islands to ourselves, managing the properties that we manage for the clients that we have, right? And a lot of them are municipalities, right? Or government agencies. And in this case, it's the Chicago Park District that owns the stadium itself.
Yeah.
And back in 1994, they engaged with our company at the time was called SMG. And to come in and manage the building. And part of it too was to build revenue here and find ways to use the building and build kind of, you know, efficiencies around spending and all of that, right? And we did that pretty well because clearly we've been here since 1994. So I think we're doing a good job.
Well, yeah, and obviously you had Taylor Swift this year who propped up the economy. So I know that was singularly you, right?
Yeah, that was me, all me. And she did that pretty much around the world, right? Yeah. There wasn't any place she went that she didn't influence the whatever market she went into, whether it be from an economic standpoint or from a popularity standpoint. And it was quite the shows, three nights in a row. I don't know how she does it night after night, because it was 3 hours and 15 minutes of her just moving the entire time.
That's crazy.
So
half my family was there watching Taylor Swift.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And unfortunately, a lot of people that wanted to come, right? That were not able to. And, you know, God bless her for doing as many shows she has and so many markets around the world that hopefully gave people other opportunities. But, you know, coming out of the pandemic, right? Like that was a lot, because she hadn't released anything. You know, in pandemic, she released a bunch of content, right? And then, but she hadn't toured. And so, and that was happening to everybody in the entertainment industry, and there's just backlog of entertainment that was just waiting to come to market again. And so it showed how, you know, the desire that people had to come back to buildings and live entertainment. And with somebody like that, that just everything she touches is gold, there really was just a huge demand for coming to see her. But I would also say that there's been a huge demand for a lot of artists. So, you know, we experienced that with Beyonce. I mean, we hit a couple different records last year of attendance. I mean, we hit it with Luke Combs to start our summer last May. Now, mind you, some of it is when you say records for buildings, you have to understand the context of it, right? Like some stages are on one end of the arena or stadium, and therefore you've got all these killed seats, right? Mm-hmm. So for that kind of stage build, that was a record. Then you had, you had Taylor come in and she kind of had her record around her type of build for production. And then Ed Sheeran came in and blew everything out of the water. Right. because Ed had a what they call a stage in the round. So there weren't any killed seats in the whole stadium, and you had the field to add to it. So we had a hit a bunch of different records last year. And I think that just speaks to the demand that people had of coming, you know, still wanting to come back to live entertainment.
Yeah. And I feel like this last 12 months had reminded me of like 2022, when there was just so much travel demand built up and everybody was just clamoring to travel and spend money on that and get back to it. And I feel like this last year was that for music and big in-person gatherings and like shared experiences.
Without a doubt. And it continues this year. Like, we're going to have a record number of shows this year. We kick off the season with Kenny Chesney, which is just a great time every time, everywhere he performs, with incredible lineup with, you know, Zach Brown and Uncle Cracker and then we go into Billy Joel the following week, and then we go into Rolling Stones for a couple of nights, and then we have George Strait with Chris Stapleton, and then we have Metallica, Pink. It's just like, you know, it's incredible. we're going to have a great year. And again, you know, selfishly, right, for the 100th, it's deserving, right?
Yeah. Okay. We've mentioned 100 years. Soldier Field has a lot of history behind it. Walk us back specifically like to when and why the stadium was built and founded, and then just take us through some notable points in time leading up to today.
So I'm going to make it really clear. I wasn't here for the first build in 1924.
What?
Yeah. but you know, being here as long as I have and being a Chicagoan as well, obviously it holds a special place in my heart anyway, just because I've been here all these years and love this place. It's a second home. A lot of times it is my home. So I'm going to go back to original, right? 1919 is when there was a competition for architects to draw what a kind of community type of special gatherings place would look like. Architectural firm called Hollibird and Roche ended up winning the competition and therefore started to build what was considered at the time Grant Park Municipal Stadium, or Grant Park Municipal, I think it was stadium. And so I've had to go through the collections of photography dating back to the construction. And I'll tell you, if anybody wants to go down a rabbit hole, go to the Chicago History Museum archives online, it is unbelievable to watch what the construction was like at this building. But it opened to a lot of fanfare with, you know, there was the Eucharistic Congress that was here, that reports of over 200,000 people gathered in and around inside the stadium. Now, keep in mind, it was built originally as a horseshoe, the horseshoe opened on the north end of the stadium with a direct view of the Field Museum, which was already there. So when you looked from the stadium, it was directly in line with the Field Museum and quite a backdrop to the city. It wasn't until 1971 when the Bears moved in to start playing here that they closed off the north end of the stadium. But again, it was used for, you know, Army Navy, famous Army Navy game here, Notre Dame, playing Northwestern, so college football games, all kinds of other gatherings, the Pan Am games. You had, I mean, the likes of rodeos took place here, stock car racing in the 1950s. Wow. Around the perimeter of the inside bowl. they built the 13-story ski jump from the back end of the stadium. They had tobogganing from the colonnades down.
Oh my God.
So we joke around here, like we're almost at the end. Like we've pretty much done anything imaginable. Cause now you start to get into, you know, what we've done here. When the construction was complete in 2003, with, yeah, obviously Bears moving back in and after a 20-month of not being here during the construction, the Chicago Fire moving back and then leaving for a period and coming back, international soccer games, the concerts that we've had here, NATO, like you brought up, the Global Leaders Dinner, you know, the countless kind of hospitality and parkland events we've had here, you know, lacrosse games, international soccer games, other college football games. Every day is a little bit different here.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask about that because, like, I mean, you mentioned you work in the stadium and sometimes live in the stadium. I run a gym for my job full time, and that's a small space, but it's its own feat. And every day is very different. And you have great things that happen. And you have fires you have to put out. So I'm very curious, from an operational standpoint, like, what does running a 63,000 seat stadium, like, what does that look like in terms of, like, people and process and just like hosting Taylor Swift for multiple days? Like, that's like solving like a world thing to me. Like, how do you do it?
So the best way I can describe it, and I think this is probably pretty universal for people in this space, right? That we operate a city for a window of time, right? Because you look at all the services that we provide, right? From the minute that people get on site, right, with traffic management and parking, and then, you know, their experience coming into the stadium, and then from security to ushering to food service to medical to trades people representing electricians, carpenters, plumbers, right? I mean, so you start to get into it, and we operate a small city on a game day, and that's no joke, right? Like, I mean, villages of suburbs have 20,000-30,000 yeah. people in them, right? We've got, you know, 63,000 people coming here for these events or more. Like, you know, Ed Sheeran was 71,000, right? So,
oh my gosh,
you know, that, and then you're concentrating them in this space, right? And then you have the variables of people's conditions, we'll say, when they come here or after having a couple beverages, mm-hmm. right? And how does that change? And so we get great support from the city of Chicago and Chicago police and fire. We have a command center here that operates before gates open. And so everything kind of cycles through the command center and in terms of eyes and ears and things that are there. But, you know, the one message that unfortunately we have to always be conscious of, right, is the saying that we live by, which is see something, say something. And that goes anywhere you live these days, right? Because mm-hmm. dangers are around the corner. And so we just have to have our everyone's eyes and ears on it so that, you know, we're keeping people as safe as possible. And that's really the priority here is keeping people as safe as possible while they're here, right? That's kind of chore number one. Number two is we want their experience to be a great one, right? We want them to come away with memories. And unfortunately, you know, nobody thought when they built Soldier Field, like, wow, that's a really, you want to put it there. You know, you've got Lakeshore Drive and look in all the residential, none of that was here before. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, we like to say we were first. Okay. But then you built everything else around us. So unfortunately, it is a challenge to get here. I mean, there's just, yeah. you know, we got a lake on one side, we got Lakeshore Drive on the other, and then you got the north and south. And so getting here can be a challenge. We're always trying to educate people to be mindful of that. Know that, you know, that to be smart about it, either come early and park, or don't try to muscle through the traffic and take public transportation, or ride your bikes, you know, things like that, right? So it's operating a small city, and we take it for granted sometimes simply because a lot of us are so used to it. As far as staffing goes, you know, we're a management staff that's pretty nimble, and nobody has any egos. Everybody really dives into everything. I might be doing marketing and PR, but I'll tell you, when we get a winter storm coming before a Bears game, we're all out there shoveling and getting a crew of laborers out there to move snow to get ready for the next game. So, you know, it's what we signed up for. It's part of the event world. And so I get a lot of people, yeah, a lot of kids coming out of college that are like, I want to get into that. I want to work for a team. And it's, you know, it's exciting. I'm not going to lie. It's a really fun atmosphere. It has its stresses, just like every job that you would ever get into, but there's a reward at the end.
It's amazing. I think you kind of need that in life though, right? Like a job that isn't as, it's flexible. It kind of, every day is so different. I think that that's really what keeps you coming back to it. It's not mundane, and you just really never know what can be thrown at you, which I think is really fun.
Yeah. You've got to be ready for that unknown that is going to come your way. And you know, some days it happens and some days it doesn't, but you really have to be able to be, you know, inventive, creative, and really solving the problems that are posed to you. And the one thing I really like encourage with kids that want to get into this is don't try to pigeonhole yourself into, you know, I want to do sponsorship sales, or I want to do marketing and brand, you know, brand work, or I want to do operations or whatever. Learn it all. Learn every aspect of it. So wherever you can get your entry point, go do it and learn it, because they all play on each other. And yeah, until you know what everybody does or had your hand in experiencing some level of it, you're never going to be able to do your job well, simply because you don't know how your job works into someone else's job.
I'm going to play that.
Someone else's job.
I'm going to play that for my college
students.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that's great life advice. Just
I feel that. Okay, so speaking of, you know, running your own city, obviously, you know, I'm from Lombard, so a record-setting Soldier Field attendance is almost two Lombards. So with that comes tremendous impact on the city, the economy, the surrounding neighborhoods. What has been some of the you know, notable and then just regular impact on Chicago in terms of the economics and cultural impact that a stadium like this has?
So a couple things there. I think important to point out, I think first and foremost, is that Soldier Field is owned by the Chicago Park District, right? And Chicago Park District's number one revenue stream is taxes. I mean, right? So we all pay, and, you know, and those that live in the city, right, pay into the Chicago Park District. Soldier Field is the number two revenue stream for the Chicago Park District.
Ah, interesting.
Okay. We don't have the zeros that the taxes bring in, but you know, in the same breath, right? Like we're a substantial line item to the Chicago Park District's budget. And you know, how ASM works is we're paid a management fee. So every dollar that we bring in goes back into the Park District budget, right? And they use that, right, for maintaining other existing facilities, building and maintaining the programs that exist for kids in the parks, building new facilities and new parks, right? Got one of the largest, you know, city park districts in the country. And I don't even, I don't know where we rank it, whether it's, you know, one or two, but, and so that first and foremost. Secondly, when it comes to the events that we bring in, right? So, you know, when you talk tickets and whatnot, then there's amusement taxes built into tickets, right? And so that plays kind of into how that gets divvied up by the state and then the county and then, you know, and so sliced up a bunch of different ways. And but that's economic impact, right? That's contributing to the infrastructures and other things that are supported, you know, by local government. Then you start to get into people coming in from out of town, right? And so, you know, we work really closely with Choose Chicago and the Chicago Sports Commission. And what that means is, you know, Choose Chicago is basically, you know, the sales arm of Chicago, right? To bring in events, to bring in new and different, whether it be sports or culture or, you know, global types of events, as well as the conventions, right? And anything that's going to bring people to restaurants, book hotel rooms, and spend on leisure, right? And they've just done a phenomenal job over the years of you know, keeping that number in that 50 to 55 million visitors a year. But what we do contributes to that, right? So when we have events here, Taylor Swift, right? I mean, going back to that, people are coming from out of town and they're staying at hotels and they're buying, you know, buying at restaurants and they're shopping, you know, here and what have you. So it's really important that we continually work together to bring in events, right? And we're always collaborating. We might not get everything out there. Like, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to get is the Big Ten football championship, right? And they've never done it. They've never done it outside, right? It's been an indie for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And so we have a captivating story to tell about bringing that here in December when people want to go Christmas shopping and have a great city here to also kind of change for those that are going to be traveling into Chicago. It's great. We've got the Big Ten basketball championships for a lot. We've had it for a bunch of years. Sometimes we get the, you know, Final Four, some level of the Final Four. There's been, you know, a lot of events that people don't talk about, right? Like, some of the other conference meets and championships, whether it be in wrestling or you know, volleyball or, just some of the other sports. Right. And so, you know, but big or small, the event, right? It doesn't matter. They all contribute to the economic impact. And so, you know, this stadium, I like to think, really contributes to that, especially, you know, you look at international soccer games, right? And you get in Argentina, like we just announced the other day, coming here to play Ecuador. Well, you know, they're only playing in two cities, right? So,
yeah.
You know, so people will probably travel to come and watch Messi, right?
Yeah.
Play as a warm-up game for Copa America. So, you know, those are fantastic opportunities that we get to showcase the city to people from the outside, come down and have a great time and contribute to our economic success in Chicago.
Sweet. So like, so large. See, I didn't know any of this stuff. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you talk about the history of the building, right? But, there's also so many different facets to the building, right? That make it survive for 100 years. Right. And, you know, it's important to have great tenants, sports teams, right, that play here and get, and bring people down here on a regular basis, like the Chicago Bears and the Chicago Fire, which, by the way, start their first game on Saturday here of the season. So come on down and enjoy some Chicago Fire. Cause, they're just a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but beyond that, right, is you've got to keep the building active. You have to,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot that we need to keep this building still rolling. And while we might be hitting 100 years now, you know, we'll talk about the next 100 years, you know, and we'll see, you know, where, what else is hosted here at this building.
Sweet. So optimistic. I love it. It's refreshing. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Yona.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to take it away, Aaron?
Yes, I will introduce it because I feel like Luke is going to be really good at this because I get really fun vibes from him. So we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. So we have about 6 questions for you, mostly about things that you've enjoyed and your experiences in your job. Ioana, do you want to take it away?
Sure. Okay. What's one thing people don't know about Soldier Field?
There still are hidden caverns in this building.
Oh my God. I was going to ask, I was like, since you like maybe sleep on your office floor sometimes, you probably know all the little hidden nooks and crannies.
Yeah. There, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time down there, but I don't really want to either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's one concert or event that you specifically are looking forward to this year?
Kenny Chesney. Yeah. I've become a country fan and he's the pinnacle.
Oh, amazing.
Love it.
In my view.
Yes. Okay. Coolest person you've met in your job.
Oh boy. It's a little bit of a toss up. Mick Jagger and Barack Obama.
What
a combination.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I know. For obviously completely different reasons, right? But anyway, those are two that really stand out. I mean, and I'll tell you a quick one, right? When Obama was president, he flew into Soldier Field. So
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, their helicopters would come and they'd park here and we'd always have the, you know, we'd be the place that they kind of picked up and went on their way, you know?
What is he like in person? Is he I feel like if I saw him, I would be like, I would become like a robot just staring at like.
No, he's energy. Just one of the most engaging and just genuine people. I feel like just stopped for a minute and said, you know, what's your name? What do you do? You know, and it was like, you're interested in me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've cried listening to him talk before. So, so that's awesome. Okay. If you could host anyone at Soldier Field in the future, who would you pick?
Wow. Who would I pick? Oh man, that's a really good question. Okay. Well, so many thoughts go through my head.
I know. I don't know that I could answer this one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like one of the things that comes out to me is artists, right, that haven't performed here. And I would probably say like a, you know, Bruce Springsteen or something like someone like that, hasn't played here since the building was rebuilt, but played here. Like it was epic. And I think in 1985, he played here.
Oh my God, that'd be like crazy.
Insanity.
I would die.
and the other one is Dave Matthews that also. That didn't play here, played here a bunch before the rebuild and hasn't played here since.
Nice. So, both are amazing.
I don't know, maybe great picks, maybe boring picks, but those are the ones that come to mind.
For a director of marketing and PR, that's a good answer.
Yeah. Okay. What is your favorite go-to food and drink choice if attending a game at Soldier Field?
So there's like a pulled pork sandwich up in the United Club. That's pretty outstanding. I'm not going to lie. And so that would be my go-to, but I will say Pilsen Tacos has a couple stands in here, and it's all fresh, like made right there and everything. And they're so darn good. So tacos are pulled pork, people.
Those are good answers. Yeah. Those are good answers. I like that.
There's also, if you come for Chicago Fire Games, like a crazy nacho dish that is in like a big, huge container. And probably will pass out if you finish it, but it's a crazy nachos.
Oh my God. We get nachos.
Do a food tour of like.
I know. I was just going to say, this sounds, Soldier Field sounds a little bit like Epcot.
Yeah. Yeah, we just don't have the, you know, the what is it, the Coke? that Coke house there where you can try all the different Cokes from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Maybe someday. Maybe we'll add that.
Maybe. All right, our last question for you is, we are a cocktail hour themed podcast. So do you have a favorite cocktail drink or non-alcoholic beverage of choice?
Oh, no, you kind of need alcohol in this business. Yeah, I do. I'm a bourbon guy, and so I either old fashioned or just if I need to, you know, put some training wheels on it, I'll do some bourbon and some ginger ale or ginger beer. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds crispy. I like that.
Yeah, it's like its own little mule, right? It's a bourbon mule.
Yeah, that's what you need to get through the week sometimes.
Weekend starts early sometimes.
Yes.
Like we support that. Tuesday, Wednesday.
I love that. Well, Luca, thank you so, so, so very much for coming on. We will be, I mentioned I drive by Soldier Field every day on my way to work, so I'll be sure to wave to you.
Wave at me, would you?
And we'll be sure to come by and support the stadium. And, you know, everybody go online and see what they have coming up. Go support the sports games, the concerts, the events, and everybody that makes the stadium run.
Absolutely. No, thank you both. I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, and love to see you guys and all your fans anyway here this summer.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.